You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio. Looking good, pop-up! Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are going to ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors. We're also making new jobs. Alejandro, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, everyone. This is Diane on the Red Wine, of course. Jody and Aaron are off. I don't know what they're doing. Lucky them. They're probably having a great time. Actually, I think Jody is probably watching the Avalanche game. From a Boston Bruins fan, I hope they lose, but that's just me. Sorry, Jody. I'm going to hell. Anyhow, I am lucky enough to be joined by two fellow women from Massachusetts. I'm just sure you guys are just going to be drowning in the Massachusetts accent. I know you love it. I just know it. Anyhow, I am joined by Darrellyn Haywood, who is a Mass State Senate candidate for the Cape and Islands, and I'm joined with Katie Lawson. Some of you may say, who's Katie Lawson? I will tell you the name Rachel Rollins, who was the Suffolk County District Attorney who had a hissy fit and a half. Quite frankly, she should have resigned from her job, but that's just my personal opinion. So ladies, I'm very excited to have you here tonight. So we'll start with Darrellyn, if you could give a little background, and then we'll have Katie give a little background, and then we will go right into our discussion. So Darrellyn, well, you are up.
Hi, Diane, and hi, Katie, how are you?
Hi.
It's so good to talk to you again, and thank you, Diane, for having me, and I want to say hello to everyone in the Cape and Islands, especially, you know, my friends in Nantucket, my Bourne RTC, my Chatham RTC. Hello, everybody, And to all the moms out there, I hope that you're listening and I hope you have a good takeaway from tonight. And do you want me to just say a little bit about myself? I am.
Yes, please.
A 1984 graduate of Falmouth High School. I went into the military when I was 17, which it was in my, you know, my senior year. I did the weekends there. And as soon as I turned 18, I went into the Air National Guard. I did the Army and Air Guard. I was a weapons instructor. And then I went to school for plastics engineering, ended up in the state police. And it was such a great career. I worked undercover narcotics, homicides, murders, had a chance to supervise. Loved the job. Great job.
Excellent. Katie, if you could give us a little background on you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie, and I am the, I guess, Rachel Rollins' nightmare over here. I am just a regular person. I was a registered Democrat until I met Rachel Rollins, and I'm just, you know, just a regular person out here just trying to get us all to kind of wake up and see what's going on in the world around us after the incident that I had with Rachel that woke me up.
So if you could talk a little bit about what happened, in case there's some that, which I'm sure very few, because we know it all made headlines, what happened with Rachel Rollins, who, again, to backtrack, when this occurred, Rachel Rollins was the Suffolk County in Boston DA. She is also one of the DAs similar to that George Gascon, that George Soros, you know, so that he funded, I would say. He basically, when she took office, she decided that maybe 40 or 50 different things that would normally get you arrested, she was not going to, you know, charge anybody with anymore. So you could basically, you know, rob someone as long as it was under a certain amount, you had a free walk. So that's the type of DA that she was. So if you could say, you know, what happened, now that everybody knows that she's a nasty piece of work.
If they already didn't. yeah, she's definitely not a pleasant person. So it was actually Christmas Eve out of all, like, that's the time of year when people are supposed to be, like, cheery and friendly, but that didn't happen. I was trying to leave a shopping center and, had a road rage incident with Rachel Rollins where she, drove her car at my car to avoid me from being able to go in front of her. And Miss Rollins rolls down her window and proceeds to start screaming at my fiance and I, saying, you don't want to try me today, lady. Today is not the day to try me. Do you want a ticket? I'll write you a ticket. And just all, like, not, definitely not as calm as I'm explaining to you guys now. You know, all crazy, shove the hand in the head, go in, the whole nine. So then she proceeded to block my car, and she drove her huge, was it Chevy Tahoe or whatever it is, up to my little Toyota. Pulled up to the driver's side window about 3 inches and started screaming at us. She then proceeded to go in front of us and run through a red light. So I decided today's not the day to try me, Miss Rollins, so I'm going to go ahead and report you. So I ended up calling the Boston police, and, you know, they ended up probably like 2 days later calling back, letting me know that it was her. And then I proceeded to try to hold her accountable, because this is what we need to be doing, people. We need to hold people accountable. So I began to call the AG's office, and they did a whole sham type of investigation. They didn't speak to my witness. They didn't really care. They released the results to the media after asking me not to do so. They referred her to state ethics, where we filed an ethics complaint, and they let it go, despite having a retired ethics person say that she was in complete violation of what's ethical. She then went on Twitter. She compared herself to Emmett Till, and by doing so, calling me a racist. She failed to tell anybody that she was screaming in the face of my African-American fiancé, though. So I don't really know how that makes me racist. She went on Twitter and said, basically, that the rantings of a white woman have brought the media to my home. She's a DA, so get over it.
And then proceeded to make a whole bunch of racist things, play the victim card, you know, the whole spiel. So I spent 365 days calling every United States senator, and not a single one from here would actually have a conversation with me other than their aides, and we can go into that if, at whatever point you want to. But needless to say, it took me 365 days and a senator from Arkansas to help go ahead and bring my story to the Senate floor. I was successful in that. I was absolutely successful in getting her delayed. My story was told on the Senate floor, so I'm sure Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey must have loved that. And I am the reason why she was delayed, but that's the synopsis, the quick version of it, because I don't know how detailed you guys want me to get.
Just the fact that, as usual, Democrats always reward bad behavior by promoting her to the U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, which...
I'm sorry to cut you off. It's really important to understand that I, at one point, like I said, was a registered Democrat. So I voted for these people that are in office that refuse to speak to me. So it's very important to understand that If you're wearing this, I'm a Democrat and we're all Democrats and we all stand together. No, we do not all stand together. Understand that if you're not part of their agenda, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how you voted. You will not get back if you do not fit the agenda. And it is very important for people who are out here getting ready to vote to keep that in mind. That just because you're a Democrat, these people do not care about you. Just know that.
Katie, can I ask you, why were you a Democrat before? Like, what did you believe before this happened to you? Excuse me.
I'll be honest with you. I was a Democrat because that's what it was in my family, to be straight honest. So I always had that mindset. You know, I was the Trump situation kind of turned me off a little bit because I felt like the racism ran, you know, became more prevalent and things like that happened that I wish didn't. But now I'm seeing it doesn't really matter because we're still in the same position. We're actually in a worse position.
You know, the funny part of how a lot of people seem to feel like, you know, they put racism and Trump together. But in the reality of it, it's really the Democrats that were being racist, or they were having agitators be racist, you know, for blaming it on Trump, for example. There's so many... occurrences that people have found, if you know, look through Twitter, whatever, they find paid Democratic agitators, for example, that were at a lot of the Trump rallies that were starting a lot of the fights, and they'd be the ones that would be screaming the racist chants. So this is what the Democrats are really good at, because, you know, they want power and they'll do anything to keep that power.
Right. Even if that means stomping on the people that foolishly voted for you.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I think what bothers me the most is, you know, I have some there's mixed race in my family, and it makes me so mad. Like, I heard a teacher down here that was like, you know, our black and brown children, you know, they can't pass the college prep courses, so we're going to do away with it. I'm like, that's racist.
Well, the question to me would be, if you're a teacher, why? Why can't they pass it? Why aren't you, you know, we have classes now that are supposed to, where we have teachers that are supposed to be teaching with a differentiated teaching. And if they can't do that, then you need to sit there and, you know, of course, using the language they use, heterogeneous and homogeneous classes. Your homogeneous is going to be separate your honors classes so that those kids keep moving ahead. Your heterogeneous is where they have to teach differentiated teaching. And if a teacher cannot teach differentiated teaching, then they don't belong in the classroom.
Well, I think just the fact that someone would make that statement as a quote, I use air quotes, educated person, and nobody else picked up on that. I just found that really offensive. Because are you telling me that there's white kids that they all do well? No. And it's this, and I hate the word you use, dog whistle too, but it's anything to get them money. It's anything to get them votes. And it's anything to make someone a victim. You know, you make two choices in life. And when you choose, you can either choose love or you can choose fear. And the Democrats always choose fear. Why? Because when people are in fear, they are dependent.
Exactly.
When, when women are beaten in domestic violence, they are in fear. They are in fear. And that seems to be the narrative for the Democrats. They want to make you fear the police. They want to make these pejorative statements in the police reform bill that actually say, you know, the police won't rape people when they're in custody. Okay, do we? Why do you need to put that in there? It's 147 pages of nonsense of people that are writing a bill. I say it's written by politicians for politicians. And they twist it just like they did a sham invest with Katie. Welcome to the hierarchical institutionalized organizations. And Mara Healy, too. She's supposed to protect women. Did she protect Katie?
Did she protect me? Or did she even care that Elizabeth Warren's office gave my phone number and all my personal identifying information, including my place of employment, to one of their, I guess somebody who works for their office, who had the audacity to try to call me and ask me for help with their situation that's in relation to what I do for work, which if I did ever pick up that call and have done that, I would have been instantly fired.
Right.
When I called the Elizabeth Warren's office, I called the AG's office and state ethics, and they all told me, even though I have the voicemail saved, they all told me it does not. They can't do anything about it. It's not their jurisdiction. Wake up, people.
Pass the buck.
And that's
wake up, because the person who reached out to me was never anybody I ever even spoke to in that office. So note that.
They gave your information to someone that had an unrelated, like, no interest whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the way it usually happens, though. The name gets passed. It's the whisper campaign. Everybody knows the Democrats are famous for the whisper campaigns.
Oh, not necessarily. Some Republicans
are. Well, but and this is what I say. You know, when you stop the whisper campaigns, all right, when you figure out the who, then it becomes clear the why, and then it becomes clear how you're going to deal with it. Because they think they're really good at doing it, but in the end, it all comes out.
Well, it's the same in the schools. The same situation that Katie had with Rachel Rollins and the ethics committee and Mara Healy. It's the same in the schools. And parents don't know really what goes on inside the schools. We have a superintendent here that was fired from the Berkshires because one of her teachers was taking nude pictures of herself and sending them to a student and also providing him with alcohol and marijuana. And she also solicited pictures from the student. Of course, you know, nobody knows what happens. You know, the principal's like, well, I told the Title IX person, the Title IX person got fired. And, you know, the superintendent happened to be on vacation. Well, the school committee let her resign early, fired the other two. And now, that person's a superintendent on the Cape. So there's no accountability. There's no, there's no oversight. And if you don't know, like Katie did, you don't know where to look. You don't know who to talk to.
And that's why I think, when it comes to like this is a classic offering, if you will, for a teacher, they'll get the resign or be fired. And when they resign, because they put the laws in place, it says you can't say why someone is fired. That person can usually go to another school district. They don't have to give the reason why they're fired. They get the background check. If nothing shows up, they could be hired.
That I want to introduce is there has to be some transparency. Chapter 66 is allegedly used by Mara Healy. Chapter 66 states this. If, say, Katie was in a murder trial and she punched Diane while she's in the murder trial, and Diane says, I'm going to sue her. And I want her whole internal affairs record. Chapter 66 would say it would so prejudice the defendant in the case that Katie's testifying in that we wouldn't release that information. But what the attorney general's office says is that we are going to say Chapter 66 applies to administrative procedures when it doesn't. But when it suits them, when it suits Mara Healy, she will use that law to get an internal affairs record from a domestic violence incident that happened 10 years ago. So they twist everything to use it to their benefit, and no one does anything. No one says anything. Nobody speaks. Oh, that's been going on for years. Why?
I mean, I think one of the laws, I believe, Daryl, and I heard you mention that you'd like to introduce, if the good people of the Cape elect you, is that if someone is forced to resign, that the school district has to send information to the Mass State credentialing for teachers or for superintendents or whatever, where the credentials are, so they have that record on file. Some states actually put the reasons why. And if a teacher is on any type of probation or probationary plan, that's made public. It's not that case in Massachusetts.
Well, and here's what Massachusetts does too. The Massachusetts or Board of Probation check, that means if you've ever been arrested in Massachusetts, what we call a triple I will check you in every state. But when schools don't report it, they sweep it under the rug. And the reason they sweep it under the rug is they get a little mark next to their school that says, you know, this happened there, that happened there. So what they're trying to do is have a good, you know, have people have a good perception of them. So if your daughter or your son ever goes to a school and they said there's never been any, you know, college, there's never been any sexual assaults here, there's never been any assault and batteries, don't go there because they're lying. It happens everywhere. But what they should do, and this is what bothers me, is teach them how to do an investigation properly. Make it universal across the whole entire state so that you know you have to do A, B, C, and D. And you need to follow it. And you need to tell the parents, these are your rights. These are your children's rights. Like Mass General Law 7132A requires parental or guardian notification when a school implements a sex education curriculum. And they're not supposed to penalize you at all. Do parents don't know this?
And it should be in the student handbook, because every issue like that has a state RSA, or, and I'm not sure what they call it in Mass now, but you're supposed to be notified. It should be in your student handbook. It should also have where you can opt out as a parent.
Well, that's a lot of times. All the student handbooks are different. Some of the handbooks I've, you know, in the recent cases that I've investigated, a lot of these I do for pro bono. I don't do them for any money, because protecting children is of paramount importance. Because if you don't protect children, you are a soulless, gutless coward.
Absolutely.
Because children's innocence should not be stolen. It should not be taken. It shouldn't be bent, and it shouldn't be twisted for someone else's pleasure or, you know, political gain.
So what is your thoughts? Of course, we're going to round right into that. Rick, do we need to take a quick break?
No, actually, we got such a late start. I was going to just run through so you could finish everything.
All right, perfect. Cool. All right, so now we don't have to take a break. So going into that question, Darlene, is what are your thoughts on, you know, we're finding in different states, and more likely in Massachusetts, we don't know, where they're teaching the trans agenda. But it seems more focused on the trans agenda. It seems as though, in my opinion, and people can disagree with me, it seems as though the gay, lesbian, and the bisexuals are no longer talked about, matter. They don't, it's like they're not even part of it. It's strictly just the transgender queer community right now. We have Julian Sear, who put a bill, emergency bill, specifically just for trans, for Cape residents, just for trans Cape residents. And it seems as though I'm hearing a lot more, you know, gay lesbians that are upset. It's not that they're upset that the transgenders are getting more attention. They're upset because, you know, they feel that the platform is no longer the platform that it was.
Well,
if that makes sense.
I'll say two things about that. One, I believe that, you know, gay and lesbian people have fought so hard and so long to have rights, to be recognized, to be brought into communities, to be able to have children together, to not fear when they go to a kid's party that they have two parents of the same sex. And we as a, you know, as a people have grown to understand that people love who they love. But I, the difference to me with this trans thing is it's highly sexualized. And I oppose that 100%. I do not think that we should be sexualizing our children. And what bothers me more is that why are the schools taking on this agenda insofar as to say, don't tell your parents I call you George if your name is Sarah. It's so duplicitous that they have two separate pieces of paper or two separate files, one that says Sarah and one that says George. Now, I liken it to this, and you know, I have to preface this by saying I support all kids. I don't care if they're purple dinosaurs, they're short, fat, tall, gay, straight, whatever. I protect kids 100%. But think of this, trans-abled people, this is a thing, believe that a part of their body doesn't belong to them. They identify as a disabled person. They don't believe, if they can see and they feel that they should be blind, there's people that pour bleach in their eyes. There's a woman in a wheelchair who is perfectly healthy, but identifies as a disabled person. Now, if someone said, this arm doesn't belong to me, you need to cut it off. I don't think anybody's going to cut that arm off. So you're going to make that person suffer with their identity as a disabled person because you won't cut the arm off. But you will surgically remove the breasts of girls. You will surgically remove the genitalia of a boy. What's the difference?
Can I add something to that? I was recently in a restaurant, and I actually overheard a conversation of a woman who was saying that her teenage daughter had quit, like, all sports, cheerleading, everything, because her boobs had gotten so big that it was uncomfortable for her. The young lady and the mother went to the doctor's office and tried to see about getting a reduction because I guess it was so bad that she quit cheerleading. She quit all her sports. She quit everything. She didn't want to do anything. And you know that the doctor said that she was too young to have a breast reduction, even yep. though her and her mother went in together to have this conversation. I was really air hustling really bad that they were having this whole conversation. And then I thought about it after, and I'm saying to myself, wow, this young girl is now no longer a cheerleader. She's no longer participating in sports. She no longer feels comfortable. And I guess she's like really tiny. She's this tiny, tiny person with these big boobs. And she no longer feels comfortable in her own skin. And they're not allowing, they said because of her age, they're not allowing her to get a breast reduction. But if she went in and said, you know, I don't want these anymore, we may be having a different conversation. And it's kind of disturbing to sit back. At that age, I feel like you don't really even know who you are. Because I did not know who I was at 14. You know, it's not the person I am today. But it's just kind of like you really have to sit back and think about that. Like, this literally medically necessary for this young girl to have a reduction so she can literally live her life because they said that she's like a size 2 and her boobs are huge. So come on. Well, and here she is unable to do that. And with her mother's permission, with her mother's, both her parents' consent and her having a conversation with her doctor, and they refuse to do it.
But Big Pharma will remove a woman's breast or a male's genitalia because then that kid is in control of the government. They are dependent on Big Pharma for their hormones. And I think, you know, when we start to get away from, you know, kind of talking about the founding fathers, you know, the Declaration of Independence. I'm you know, not a constitutional scholar, but, you know, being a police officer, I did, you know, my share of research. The founding fathers started with family, religion, morals, respect, and boundaries. And now all those have been taken away from us. Our faith has been taken away from us. The family has been taken away from us. And it's been replaced by materialism, we have to get the next car or the next Range Rover or the pair of Air Jordans or, and we're not concentrating on our children, on our government, what they're doing, what matters, because we're so distracted. And look what's happened now. The rights that we have, the inalienable rights, and, you know, if anyone doesn't know what inalienable rights are, it means mama bear rights, instinct, survival. Those rights are inalienable. They're in nature, and you can't take them away. The Constitution is to protect citizens from their government. The Second Amendment doesn't say you have the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment says the government will not infringe with your inalienable right to have arms. So the government cannot take rights away from you. You have to give them up. You do not give up rights. You don't give it up for 1 second because you'll never get them back.
So dovetailing into that, we know that there was a bipartisan agreement in the Senate for gun control. Now, I believe the agreement stated that they want to focus monetarily for more mental health, for the red flag laws, okay. I think were part of it as well.
The red flag law is unconstitutional. We have to have due process. We do not just grab people and throw them in jail or take their kids from them or take their home from them or take their money from them. And this is such an emotional, you know, the FBI has a system that they use to overthrow governments, and it's called System 1, System 2. And it's a way of framing an incident or a situation so that people will have buy-in. We have...
Well, why are we... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just going to play another side of the table for a second. Why are you against the red flag laws? What, I don't know enough about it. I just know that this right, bill
so
is...
If you have, like, you just got your license, so your license to carry. And if I say, mm-hmm. Katie Lawson is crazy. She said blah, 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 blah. They can go to your house
right.
and take your gun. We have due process in this country.
This part I didn't know enough about. So this law isn't based off of like, okay, so somebody, my husband beats the crap out of me. He goes to jail. He's charged with domestic violence, you know, whatever. Okay. So this person has not been charged by anything. This
charged.
Is just, nope. Okay. So I just filed a complaint saying, okay, that's a different story.
Anonymous. It could be anonymous.
Someone in chat also noted that SCOTUS has already ruled that the red flag laws are unconstitutional already, I guess, in previous cases.
Yes. But hasn't stopped anyone.
Right, but I'll bring an example that I'm sure when Obama was president, we had veterans in New York, for example, because New York has some of the strongest gun laws, who would go to the VA for something as simple as getting help to balance their checkbook or, you know, they offered financial mm-hmm. assistance. They went to this gentleman's house and basically forced him to hand over all of his guns just because he went to the VA for a little bit of financial help. That is what government will do. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. It was when Obama was in office. I'm not sure the exact date, I'd have to look it up, but mm-hmm. they took all of his guns, literally the sheriff, they forced him to hand over all his guns. I'm sure anybody in the chat room would know exactly what it was, because I remember we ranted about this a few years ago, but there's they so will use something as simple as that.
There's so many that's injustices insane. That go
but
on.
Also, does anybody, we want to talk about the fact that this bill, from what I've read, is going to cost anywhere from $15 to $20 billion. But why isn't the federal government doing something about these gas taxes or doing something about these prices? But we have $15 to $20 billion to spend. Because what's the reality of it? If you legally have a gun, you're more than likely not breaking the law. The ones who are breaking the law illegally have the guns. They're the ghost guns or the, you know, the untraceable guns or, you know, what somebody was like making them recently and just got caught from like making the guns at his house. So the reality of it is the laws are only going to be stricter for those that follow the law.
Well,
it's not, you're not stopping the whomever is illegally using the guns. They're still going to go ahead and shoot up there with their illegal gun. So who are you hurting?
Well, you're hurting the American. This is why this system one, system two propaganda works on citizens who aren't engaged and they aren't awake and they aren't paying attention and they just want to go about their lives watching Real Housewives or the whatever and buying their Gucci pocketbook, you know. And that's what I decided. I am committed to this. I'm sorry if I can't go have a glass of wine with you and you want to joke around. No, I'm committed to freedom here, free choice, parental rights. And it's not right that someone in my child's school would dare tell my kid to keep a secret from me. And when we can't speak, just think about what's gone on lately. People are afraid to say things. People are afraid to wear clothes that may support one party or the other. And if you look at like rules of war historically, what are the rules of war? They cut off the supply chain. They take away the fuel. They destroy your wealth. They disarm citizens. They affect the transportation so you can't leave. They silence communication. They cancel people. They create disease. They cause strife and division.
They burn down the plants that process our food. 97 of them this year. Wake up, people.
And so, you know, what is going next? And then they want to disarm us. And you know why it sounds crazy to some people? Because they're not engaged and they don't know what's going on. They want to give up their rights. And you should not be giving up any right ever. Any right. Our free speech has been encroached on. We've had taxation without representation. And my opponent, Julian Cyr, his idea of making sure that everybody feels good with, you know, this month or that month. And that's not the work of a senator, parroting the months or the days or whatever. That's just mindless, like, nothingness.
Well, and celebrating the week that or the past month where, you know, there's been a baby formula shortage. That's critical to infants. I mean, granted, mm-hmm. we know Democrats really don't care for infants because they'd rather they weren't born. Right. But I digress. We'll talk about the fact that he's celebrating. Oh, yay, great. We're going to have topless beaches on Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard.
But I want to know, what does he have to say about inflation? What does he have to say about suspending the gas tax? What about this huge, massive budget surplus at the state level? We could find creative ways to take the burden off this like ridiculous, maddling inflation off the backs of the everyday person. You know, we're in such a challenging time and confusing time that most of us has ever seen. And that's why I wanted to run, because I see the consequences of an action. I've seen it at the schools. I've seen it in police work. And we just need to stop with these twisted terms and invented language. I think people want some clarity and they just want direct talk and less action. I mean, and they want direct talk and action, but less distraction. They're tired of these people and they're pontificating about, Democrats are perfect. Like Mara Healey was here. On the 15th, was that today? I think she was here today or yesterday. And she says, the Cape has tremendous wealth and knowledge and capital, but not shared prosperity. We have to figure it out. Well, you don't just parrot what the problem is and then say we need to do something about it. You've been the Attorney General since 2015. Julian Cyr has been the senator since 2016. He doesn't live here. He doesn't have kids. He doesn't have a mortgage. I'm guessing that he's got per diem for the last, 2 years that the state house was closed, yet you're going to fire troopers who left the detail early. So if he gets $12,000 a year, $12,000 a year in per diem, say, and he's been in office for 6 years. That's, you know, 62,468, almost $70,000 in per diem. And he actually says he can't possibly do his job well and live on the Cape.
So she said that they need to share the prosperity of the Cape.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, this is the thing.
Has she, I mean, let's talk about the fact you worked undercover for 10 years. You've seen the worst of the worst of the Cape.
Well, I
and
mean,
that's a lot of people that are barely making ends meet, and they can't even afford to live down the Cape anymore because the, you know, cost of the real estate to rent or to buy a place is going through the roof because you have everybody investing in all the Airbnbs.
Well, let's just talk
because my godson, speaking of the Cape, my godson and well, my basically kind of like my sisters, her and her husband and her two kids have moved down to the Cape. And they struggled. It took them over a year to find housing. They lived in a motel until they found a house. They found a house who the rent, the landlord was going to have forced them to move out come the summer, obviously, for rentals. But she offered to pay more every month in order to, like, offset the woman, what the woman's loss would be so that they could have permanent housing. That's what they're dealing with. That's it. He's a small business owner. She works in the hospital. They have two children under the age of 5, and they literally had to get basically seasonal housing and kind of pray that their landlord would be kind enough to allow them to stay there all year round. And yeah, you and know, but why help? Why help anybody? You're down the Cape. You're a small business owner. You work. You have a good job. You know what I mean? One's working in the hospital. The other one's a small. The husband's a small business owner. He has a landscaping business. And who's out there, and they can't even find a place to live, and we're worried about, what was it that I heard, nude beaches or topless beaches or something like that?
Right.
Come on.
Carolyn, as a senator down the Cape, what would you do to address affordable housing and those type of issues?
Well, you know, first of all, if the federal government would do its job and take care of this illegal immigration, I'm working right now to try to find out how many illegal immigrants are in housing on the Cape, and do they get preference, and are they getting transitional assistance? And people think, oh, we have to, if you say Americans first, oh, that's not very magnanimous of you. Well, we don't reward illegal behavior, and we don't reward illegal behavior with a house and money and a phone and Air Jordans and a big screen TV.
And a driver's license.
Right? What people forget about...
Well, we have veterans sitting on the side of the road because they have no place to go, you know.
Exactly. So the founding fathers warned us, right, that the only way for a nation to prosper was to have equal protection of rights. Everybody has equal protection of rights. And we don't allow the government to get involved in trying to distribute our quote-unquote things. They even warned the founding fathers warned, and they say that a utopian scheme of redistribution of wealth and goods and ownership and means of production, distribution, whatever, are visionary and impractical, and they're all just like when they were invested in the king. You can't take someone's wealth and just give it to someone else. And they wanted a system of education too. The founding fathers of our country wanted an educational system that has an engaged, intelligent electorate. And we have dumbed down things so poorly that people can't name how many states. They don't know the rights that they have. When we wrote the Declaration of Independence, you know, we had been ruling ourselves, even though we were separate from the crown, we had been ruling ourselves for 150 years until the king decided that he was going to come and wreak havoc. So that's when we wrote the Declaration of Independence. So if you look at the Declaration of Independence, there's 27 grievances that we as people, we complained of. And I just want to enumerate a few of them for you. The king has refused his assent to laws, not following laws. Does that sound familiar? He has forbidden governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, like suspending the gas tax, Julian Sear. He's refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of their representation. Why would you have anyone relinquish any rights? He calls legislative bodies at unusual places. How about passing that police reform bill in the middle of the night? These people had extreme foresight to see what was going to happen 300 years later. And how about this? The king has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing, with manly firmness, his evasion on the rights of the people. So if you're mad that you can't talk, you're mad that you can't say that COVID was a farce, you get canceled. You quit, you get your job taken away from you. And yeah. He did it for a long time. And he endeavored to prevent the population of the states and allowed foreigners to come in into our colonies so that they could take us over. That's happening right now with illegal immigration. And he's obstruct. And this is number 8 grievance in the Declaration of Independence. The king has obstructed the administration of justice.
Yep.
Refusing to follow laws and established for the judiciary powers. This is really meaningful, poignant. I mean, we're at a precipice right now, and people need to understand that this isn't just about a kid wearing a dress. This isn't just about, political correctness. This is a takeover. This is a war. It's a war against our rights. It's a war against our freedom. It's a war against our children. It's a war against our success. It's a war against our income. It's a war against our ideology. And when we start telling kids that you can be a boy or a girl, stay out of it. Moms will take care of that. Moms know best.
And dads.
And moms, yeah, any guardian. I don't mean to, right. Make it.
Oh,
a,
no, I know.
But, I think, it's just the Cape needs a senator for a change. We don't have a senator here. We have a tweeter. We have someone who, hides behind Mara Healey's skirt and hides behind Liz Warren's skirt. And both of them are destructive, demoralizing communists, as far as I'm concerned. I know people don't like the word communist, but a communist is someone who wants to take everybody to be the same. And we're not. And that's what makes America, America. We are the freest people on earth. We have the most just criminal justice system. It's not perfect, but it's the most just in the world. And that's why we don't give up due process. That's why we don't give up our rights.
Can you run for president too while you're at it, like in about 6 years from now or 8? I'm ready to vote.
Darling, if you go president, I'm totally down for a VP.
Oh my God. All right. Well, listen, I love the campaign. I worked for my house. I came from nothing. I went to four different high schools. I moved around a lot. I did not have white privilege, and the color of my skin does not determine my outcome. And you can get two people that go to the same school, they get the same grades, and one person is going to know somebody to get a job and the other person isn't. It's not always equal outcome. You can never guarantee outcome. And these companies are folding that do this. They're folding to political pressures. It's disgusting what's happening. And the media is allowing it. I was at the Centerville Library yesterday. The Centerville Library has do you not know what you are? You don't have to be a boy or a girl. You can be neither. What? What are you talking about? Stop it. It's mental illness, and it's I'm not, why should I call, I'm sorry, why should I call somebody they? I
won't.
Fired for calling
First
somebody.
Of all, I don't even have, are you kidding me? I can't even remember half this, and now I have to remember pronouns, and I have to remember, no, I'm just not doing that. Whatever your parents legally named you is what I'm calling you. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but you don't have to deal with me then.
And then you're called a racist and a bigot and a homophobe and a transphobe, or...
Well, I'm already a racist if you ask Rachel Rollins, so who cares?
I mean, the point is so many people never spoke up, and now you have to speak up. You have to defend yourself, and, you know.
The Steamship Authority. The Steamship Authority, these people were fired because they wouldn't take a vaccination that doesn't work.
Nope.
It doesn't work. So now the Steamship
Authority. I had to take a vaccination.
Below minimum manning, against safety protocols, and even Charlie Baker can't admit that he made a mistake. But you know why? Because they are. It's a profit. My daughter, who goes to a Catholic school, they weren't supposed to wear a mask, but somehow $30 million came into the diocese, and now my kid's wearing a mask. You want to talk about mental illness? Mental illness was wearing a mask for 2 years, where kids were told, you're going to kill people. You're going to kill your parents. You're going to kill your grandparents. They wore that mask of fear every day. The mental illness, one of my daughter's friends killed himself.
Which is crazy because my grandmother is 96 years old and survived COVID twice. After a fall and a hip replacement and a surgery, she survived COVID twice. So at 96, you know.
I just think that we need someone to be a leader. And being a leader, you know, just means that you can stand in a room of opposing views. It doesn't mean that I'm an activist. It just means that I have common sense. I'll look at an issue. I'll do the research. I'll talk to people. I'll find out about it and have conversations.
The one thing I want to say about you, Darylin, is you and I met through Rachel Rollins' situation.
No, right?
And we began to talk and we began to, you know, have a conversation. You reached out to me and just kind of gave me motivation, letting me know, like, basically you were proud that I stood up for myself. And that meant a lot to me because that was a scary thing to navigate for myself. And the one thing that I want to say is that I was Democrat, and you're obviously not at the time. But the one thing that I found about you, and that I hope if you're in the Cape, in the island, you're listening right now, because these are the words coming from a former Democrat, is that with Darylin, is that you always just heard me. You wanted to hear me. You wanted to help resolve the problem. You weren't the type of person, you weren't trying to defend anything. You weren't trying to fight anything. Like, you're just the type of person that you didn't care who I was. You didn't care that I was on paper a Democrat at the time. You didn't care about any of that. You were always open to anything that I had to say. So I think it's really important to say this, is that Darylin is running as a Republican, but she's running as a human being. She's running as somebody who has a heart. She cares about other people. She wants people to call her. Like, she wants to be that type of person where she's representing us. So you call her, you tell her how you think she should vote. She's going to be that person. She's going to call you back. She's not going to avoid you. She's going to do her best to meet with you. She's going to have conversations. She's going to take criticism. Like, I've given her, you know, like, just feedback on different things, and you've always taken that gracefully, even if it isn't the best comments or anything like that. So it's very important for people to understand, Darylin, who you are, that you're not a Republican retired state trooper. You are those things, but that's not who you are. You're just like a very good person. You're a caring person, and you literally just want to make change. And I believe from our conversations, it was my situation that actually triggered you to take these steps, or maybe it was like the icing on the cake to take these steps to run and try to make a change. So I don't want people to view you as just a Republican. I want people to view you as a human being that cares about everybody as a whole, and you just want to do the right thing. And I think that it's very important for me to say that, because you're a good person. You have a good heart. You care. You're not out here trying to, like, just be somebody for the clout or for the, you know what I mean? Just because you want to be famous or anything like that. It's very important for people to understand that you genuinely care about people. You genuinely want to make a change. You're a mom, you're a wife, you're a friend, you're a good person. And I think that it's very important to understand that for those on the Democratic side of this table that may or may not be listening, like, don't think of her as a Republican as what I know you're thinking. You need to think of her as a human being. She genuinely does care about Democrats, Republicans, unenrolled, everybody. So just really do your homework on Darylin, because it's important. It's important.
Katie, thank you. I just want to say, like, would you mind if I defined what I think a Republican is? Like, to me, in my heart, what I think a Republican is and what, you know, what I want to share.
After that, we gotta I hate to say it, but the hour's gone. Well, really fast, so we're gonna have you back. But
Katie was so generous. Thank you, Katie, and I'm glad that how I felt about you came through.
Ricky, letting us talk longer.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are still trying to finish your thought. I'm trying to let you.
Okay, all right, Dallas, say what you.
What a Republican is to me is smaller government, and I think when you have such a big government, and you know, like just take the state police for example, you know, you have, you know, 10 majors, one colonel, you know, 15, whatever you have, captains. If you had two majors, you know, four captains, you have someone who's responsible. You can point your finger to them and go, "That's that person." In a smaller government means that they have more accountability. You can hide in a sea of, you know, 5,000 SEALs, but when there's two SEALs, the shark's going to get you because you're visible. And people in government, town government, state government, federal government, need to be accountable for their decisions, and they need to answer questions. They need to represent the people and not be a single agenda activist. And I think what, you know, what Katie and I had, you know, resonated so well is I've been through adversity. You know, I have life experience, the good and the really difficult. And I understand the really difficult. I know what it's like to not have money. I know what it's like to go buy, you know, Angel here pasta and, you know, the whatever sauce is on sale. And that all made me a better person. And I hope that it made me compassionate, and I hope that it made me a generous listener. And a person who understands the consequences of an action, because doing nothing is a decision. You need to take action. You need to do it. You need to do it like it's a murder case. You need to investigate it. You need to get the facts. You need to see who's responsible, what led up to this, what can we do. And that's who I am. I want to do the right thing for people, because people like Katie and other people who haven't been treated well, or they don't have a voice. They have nobody to talk to. You know, and I certainly wouldn't be giving out people's phone numbers and addresses, Katie, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right?
Well, there's some that I might, like Elizabeth Warren's, but I digress over that. So we would love to have you guys, and I'm going to speak for Jody and for Aaron, who aren't on tonight, but probably wish they were. And Jody was in chat, and she was agreeing with you guys very much so. Well, we'd love to have you on again, both of you, because I'm sure Jody would have loved to have been on to ask questions, because, you know, this is right up her alley when it comes to people that treat other people like crap like that. But we'll definitely have you on again for sure, you know, in the next 2 weeks. Anybody that is looking to find you guys, where can they find you, Darolyn?
Well, I can be found on Twitter at Darolyn Haywood, and I have a fabulous website. It's darolynhaywood.com.
And that's H-E-Y, by the way, if anybody's
looking. H-E-Y-W-O-O-D. And I just want to really quickly say some of the points that, some of the issues that I want to work on is parental rights, medical choice, support, police, and accountability. I want to protect Americans' rights and advocate for small businesses, and everybody needs equal representation, not just a certain portion of society. I'm against new taxes, and I am so upset about this license for illegals, because driving is a privilege, and we don't reward someone who breaks our laws. I'm the mom of three teens. I'm a police officer, a veteran, a private investigator, but more importantly, I am a mom, a person. I'm a resident of the Cape. I live here. And I just want to do the right thing for people that don't have a voice. And I understand they don't have a voice. We need a senator for a change.
Absolutely. And Katie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @KLawsonPoet. And you ought to go to my page, because I have a nice Rachel Rollins video pinned at the top. But you can find me on there or Instagram at Designs by Katie.
And if you look on the red wine, you can also find links to both of the ladies. And you can all find me at DMB1031, causing trouble as usual on Twitter. Have a great night, everybody, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.